Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So, when I was young, my mother used to wake me up each morning very gently with singing. See, I've never been a morning person, not even when I was little. So while all the house was up and all my little cousins and brothers and sisters were already awake, my mother would have to come into my room each morning, even well into my teen years, and sing to me. And, well, truth be told, I would often have been awake for up to an hour, but with the chaos of our very large household, those few moments with my dear, sweet mother, focused just on me, was something I cherished. So I would lay there with my eyes closed until I felt her sit on the side of my bed and gently lay a hand on my face, my shoulder, and ever so sweetly and softly sing, "Wake up, Lisa, wake up, Lisa, peas in the pot and the hoe cake's baking, wake up, Lisa." After a couple of times around, I would open my sleepy eyes, and she would smile at me and kiss my forehead and help me out of bed. And if my mother is visiting with us, she still wakes up my children with that sweet song. And often, on sleepy mornings to this day, or on days that I know are just going to be a little hard to face, I myself will still lie sleepily in my bed for quite a while, and I can still hear my mother's voice singing, "Wake up, Lisa, wake up, Lisa." So my dad, he is quite a different character than my mother. Dad is bigger than life, literally, while my mother is not even 5 feet tall. Dad is 6'2", a strapping, barrel-chested guy with a big personality to match. And my dad is a lot of things that I love him for, but gentle is never a way I would describe him. Now, my dad loved to sing, too. And when it was his turn, he woke us kids up on the weekends. My dad is and always has been an early riser. Up at the crack of dawn, still to this day, chopping down a tree, clearing a lot, making a huge breakfast for our very large household, as we always had at least one or two of his siblings and their spouses and children living with us most of the time I was growing up. So on weekends, when it was Dad's turn to wake us up, he would burst in the door, throw open the drapes, turn on all the lights, and sing at the top of his very large and very loud lungs that old song from the musical Oklahoma, "Oh, what a beautiful morning, oh, what a beautiful day, I've got a beautiful feeling, everything's going my way." So yes, the trauma of waking up to show tunes every weekend was never quite worn off, as I'm sure you can see. And while I loved the way my mother woke me up, I guarantee you I got up and out of that bed and onto my day way faster on the weekends, if only to put an end to that song. And on weekends, it was very clear we were to live in the light. No more sleepy children shuffling off to school. For usually Dad had already been up, cooked a very large breakfast for all of us, and we were talking and laughing and planning on what adventures we were going to have on our day off until, of course, that was dampened and Dad gave us a whole list of what chores we were going to do. And if it was Sunday, oh my goodness, if it was Sunday, we were piling in the car and headed to church, and it was a very full day back then of worship and Bible study and choir practice and youth fellowship and then worship again and then out to eat and oh my goodness. Oh, what a beautiful morning indeed. And my dad still wakes up singing that song. He's 81 years old this month, and I have learned that it's not really just a song. It's his morning declaration. His faith statement, so to speak. Oh, what a beautiful morning. Everything's going my way. He was declaring. He knew exactly what time it is and how we're to face the day head on, declaring before even having evidence that it was indeed beautiful. But how often, instead of making a declaration of our faith, our salvation in Christ, and waking up to a beautiful day, how often do we just roll over, pull that rug over our head? How often do we, as people, as individuals, as a church, actually prefer the darkness? None of us would probably actually admit it. Yet we are constantly hitting that snooze button on God's alarm clock every day. Do we prefer the comfort, the silence, the security of the darkness we know, compared to the brilliance of the light and the going out into the unknown to minister with God's people? So Paul's pretty clear here in this passage in Romans. Wake up, he says. Take off those old night clothes that have become far too comfortable and cozy, and wake up and put on the clothing of light and love. Clothe yourself in Christ. How will others know our love? Know our Christ if we are sleepwalking through life in the same old clothes we spent the night in? Put on Christ. Paul says, wake up, face the day, and show God's love. I read a quote this week. Christians are not called to be subtle and secret, but to live so that everyone can see clearly who they are. The early Latin writer, Tertullian of Carthage, declared that one thing that converted him to Christianity was not the arguments they gave him, because he could find a counterpoint for every argument that would present. But, he said, they demonstrated something I didn't have. The thing that converted me to Christianity was that they loved one another. You know, I wonder, today, those looking from the outside in, would they be converted and convicted by our love? I'm not so sure anymore when I see so many people spewing hate and recklessness in the name of Christ. But what is that Christian love? And how will others know we have it? And how can we crawl out of our comfy, cozy beds and love, really love, put on the light of Christ and really love one another? And how will our neighbors know we love them and want them to walk with us in the light of this beautiful morning, this beautiful day? Again, having grown up in a house where songs from a musical just seemed to break out spontaneously, I became hooked on them at a young age. One of my favorite scenes from the musical Fiddler on the Roof asks that question. You see, the two characters have been married for 25 years. It was an arranged marriage. They had never actually said the words, "I love you," to each other. They had shared a lifetime by each other's side, strengthening one another, leaning on one another. "Do you love me?" Tevye asked Goldly, much like our world is asking us. "Do you love me?" They look at each other and realize that they have spent their lives showing, acting, being their love for one another. Tevye and Golde, never voicing their love, yet they were secure, knowing that what they spoke when words were never uttered was their actions. Actions. Their response to each other, to their children, to their community, showed their love. So our community is asking us, our world is asking us, do you love me? Out in the open, in the light of day. And are we together awake to that love? Are there those among us that are asking this very question, do you love me? And are we responding as those early Christians Tertullian was speaking of? Are we loving one another? And can you hear a world crying out there? What are we demonstrating to them? Fear, darkness, or love and light? Are we awake not only to the beautiful day, but to the cries of our community? As they say, do you love me? Are you my neighbor? Are we to deny that love and keep it for ourselves, among ourselves? Or do we owe it to one another and our community? And must they ask? So our verse, yes, today starts with some very basic instructions from Paul. Owe no one anything except to love one another. You see, this is the only debt that can never be fully repaid. Because in giving love, we receive love. And in receiving love, we become more indebted and must again give love. There is no equation that makes less sense. The more we give away, the more we receive. So the more we owe and are in debt, so the more we must pay or give away. And so, again, the more we receive. Again, this nonsensical equation. The more you give of love, the more you receive. And the more you receive, the more you must give or are indebted to give. We owe this, who? To one another. This debt we owe to one another and to our neighbors and to the stranger. Again, Paul is pretty strong. Wake up. The night is far gone and the day is near. put on this love as your very clothing. Live in the light of God's love and freely give it to one another. You know, I look around me every day and I see a world that's asking, pleading to go into this debt with me. How am I responding? I see them pleading to go into this debt with our church. How are we responding? And am I using only empty words and platitudes, or am I building relationships? Am I going about my daily life worried about all the rules, the commandments, the balance of life, the very human what's in it for me and mine? Or am I willing to abandon the balance, wake up each morning, realize my salvation is near, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and go deeply, yet somehow abundantly, into this debt of love? In a world that cries out, "Do you love me?" am I committed to a resounding yes? Am I committed to that yes, no matter who it is that's crying out? Am I committed to going into this debt with our unhoused neighbor, with the poor, with the marginalized, even the criminal, as swiftly as I am willing to go with the people sitting next to me in the pew each Sunday, and who I meet in my neighborhood and who I work with? You see, folks, it's not an either-or question. It's a both and. Love one another. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do you love me? A waiting world asks us, but is really asking of God. How can we, as the very body of Christ on earth, answer? Will we wake up? Will we walk in the light, loving one another? Can we show that love? Can we ask the same question? Do we dare be that vulnerable with one another? Are we ready to wake up together to make our declaration? Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this debt that can never be repaid. We thank you for your abundant love, and we pray that we will always respond to that love by owing nothing but that love to one another. Let us know this love that does no wrong to our neighbor. Let us recognize our neighbor in our everyday lives with the new awareness of this debt. Father, break our hearts for what breaks yours, and bless our gifts of love and abundance as we respond to your church and to one another. Wake us up, Lord. Wake us up in the light of your beautiful day. In Christ's name, amen. Are we ready? Are we